It is a devotional talking about don't miss Jesus, the baby, not emphasizing the baby or missing Jesus. But when I read through these passages, I was moved by the number of people that missed the boat. Okay, so why don't we read together? We're going to read these 7 verses, and we're going to read the next 11 verses, so we're going to cover. But as we read along, note the characters that are mentioned, and ask yourself, did they miss the point? They were there, like we may be, in one of these phenomenally, they've been waiting for all of creation until this point when Christ would come and take a form of a human being. This is so phenomenally significant. They were there, okay, in the midst of this, when the Creator God of the universe took upon himself the form of a human being. Having said that, let's read together. And it came to pass in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. I think we're going to read it together, okay? I couldn't hear anybody else. I have bad hearing, but there's enough of you. I should have been able to hear. Okay, we'll try it again. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. This census took first place while Quirinius was governing. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of this. To be registered with the Mary Roth. This is really a funny night. The battery went dead on this, so you'll have to advance it. Alright, thank you. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. If you advance it again. Then 12 months to 24 months, we really don't know how much longer it was between there and Matthew chapter 2. So, Matthew chapter 2 goes on and says, now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when they had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophets, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are not the least among the rulers of Judea. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them that the time the star appeared, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when he had found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard that the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child, Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And they had opened their treasures. They presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Next slide, if you would. You know what? Of the group. Yeah, that would be sweet. I think they're coming, maybe. Okay. Many miss Jesus in this two readings. And it is very, very sobering. Why don't you go to the next one? The first one is the innkeeper. Yeah, and I sat there and I said, how many people in our culture like the innkeeper? What do you imagine was going on in his life? Well, first of all, if he would have recognized that the Creator was going to be born, Do you think he could have found room in the inn? If he, you know, if he would have, given him his own bed, right? I mean, it wouldn't have mattered. He would have made it happen, but he didn't see any significance. Why? I suspect he, in fact, was very much consumed with the opportunity for making money. This was a big deal for an innkeeper. This was this big census, and everybody had to come to Bethlehem. I mean, he would have just been, the business would have been really, really, really good. I can't help but reflect on things like Black Friday and the Christmas shopping and all the other things, the activities that go on in our culture. Business, a lot of times, can be very distracting. Then they talk about the other one, the other travelers, the one that was just up there, and the town folk. What was going on in their life? I sat and I thought about that for a second, and I said, you know, what happens when I grew up in Edgeley, North Dakota, and one thing that Edgeley has done, it's a little town, and really has nothing to say that really holds it together other than they have a high school that has an alumni association that has always been very, very, very strong. Every year, whoever's on their 5 or 10, particularly their 10-year reunion from high school, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, they show up at this reunion, this time of the class reunion. It's really stunning. Well, having grown up in the town that had all of this going on every year, once a year, I know what happens when a lot of people come into town from out of town. Everybody is just so caught up in connecting with their old friends. And I suspect that that was going on in Bethlehem. I mean, in Bethlehem in this time of year. And many people, even after there was enough going on. I mean, the star and some of this other, the shepherds, there was enough going on, you would have thought there would have been masses of crowds gathering around. But there is no account of that at all. People were so just caught up in visiting and socializing. And again, I was stunned with the parallel of the way we as a culture celebrate Christmas. I love the fact that we get together. I mean, I'm not diminishing, I'm not saying bad things about that, that's good, but you know, in so many cases, I think it may take precedence over the real meaning of who we should be thrilled about. If you go to the next group, Herod, what was going on in that man's life? I'll tell you what, he was coming from a different angle. That man was feared, he really feared that he had to give something up. He was threatened by this whole thought. He was threatened about having to give up the lifestyle he had become comfortable with. And then I think about witnessing in our neighborhood. More than once, I've had the younger men tell me, or the younger women tell me, no, no, when I get older, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to live now. If I accept Jesus, then I would have to, I couldn't enjoy all that I'm doing. You know, and it's just so pathetic because there's no real, what they call about enjoying are the very nightmares they're going to have later on as they reflect back on it. But that's what Herod was. He was caught up with he was trying to protect his own thing and didn't want to surrender, didn't want to go that direction. And so I started looking at the Christmas story and I started saying, whoa, there is a ton of parallels. Now, the one that really got close to me, my own heart, was this religious leaders. You know, in the Matthew passage that we read last, what was going on there? It's significant to reread that passage and think about this truth. The religious leaders that Herod went and talked to knew exactly the prophecy. They knew where, they understood when, they were even able to calculate back. All of this stuff fit together, but you know what I concluded? They must have been so secure in their Judaism, so secure in their religion, that they felt no need to go seek out whether it was the Messiah. And you know what? I've talked to a lot of people that are very secure in their religion and are not willing to take a good look at who Jesus is. This gets so close because I look, and not only look at my own life, but I look at the people in the sphere of my own life, and I see representatives of those four categories. But there is a fifth category. The wise men. You know what's so stunning about that? Is they were non-Jews. They lacked really knowledge of the scripture, but there was a drawing in their heart. God was at work in their heart, and they were really focused. They had sacrificed an enormous amount. They had probably been traveling 6 or 7 months. They had brought enormous wealth, which they freely gave away. All of this is quite stunning. How did each one respond? In summary, some missed the baby because they were too distracted by all the world offers now, the innkeeper. He was all about making his money, and this one opportunity was not going to miss it. And what he really missed was the most important thing in the, that could ever imagine. The Savior in his own building, and he didn't find room in any place but the stable. Some missed the baby because they were too busy and didn't have time to look for him. I'm talking about the people in the community. They were just, one was so focused on finances, one was so focused just on apparently socializing that they didn't pay attention to the shepherds and the other messages that were going on. They just missed it. And remember now, Bethlehem is a small village. You're not talking like this happened in Minneapolis, St. Paul, in one small block, city block. You're talking to, I go back to where I grew up, 100 people. Bethlehem was not big. This couldn't have happened without some talk about it, but they missed it. It wasn't a big deal. They were socializing with the other people. And some missed the baby because they were just too scared to let him take control of their life. Herod was a classic example. He wasn't going to give up what he had. Although, you think the Lord would have found a place for him? For sure. And some missed the baby because they were indifferent or ignorant of their need of a Savior, like the religious leaders. Even though ignorant probably shouldn't have been in there, because they obviously weren't ignorant, they were able to date it very clearly. And some, only a few, followed their hearts. I could have put the Haddish, if I would have had more time, I would have read the account of the shepherds, were another group of outcasts. One were Gentiles, and the other were the social outcasts of the Jewish culture, the shepherds. They were the ones that opened their eyes.
Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's true too.
Yeah,
and then they thought of him as that's a good, very good point. I hadn't thought of it from that concept. So here's the point. I know that I look out at this group. You're here on Wednesday night because you're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you come to a Wednesday night service? But the question is still valid relative to how you're approaching this time of your life. Not saying just Christmas, I'm talking about this time of your life. As a Christian, are you too consumed with just meeting the needs of life? Are you too consumed with your friends? Are you too concerned to let him really have control? How about just content with what you have going as far as your Christian walk? What is your response to Jesus? That's what it's all about. When it comes down to it, whether if we know him, and I trust, I'm looking out at this group. I suspect everyone in here knows the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not wondering that. But even with that having, as a given, how are you responding to Jesus? Are you living for Him today? Are you committed to Him today? Are you prioritizing serving Him today? Or was that yesteryear? Heavenly Father, I pray that these devotional thoughts, and as we looked at the Christmas story, might just stir our hearts, either for our own condition, or for the condition of others that we, loved ones and dear friends that we have. And if it is for the dear friends and loved ones, I pray that You'd give us wisdom on how we might be used of You as an instrument for Your glory. We thank You for this, Lord. We thank You for who You are. In Jesus' name, amen.